In other words, I've got a piece to speak. And blow hot or cold, I'm gonna speak it.
Let's do this, Johnny!
Welcome to the Breaking It Down podcast. I'm Brother Ron, your host, and each week I bring you the inspired word of God as we together discover and unlock its life's transforming truths. Thanks for listening in.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Brothers and sisters, saints and aints. Hey, it's Brother Ron. Welcome to another edition of Breaking It Down with Brother Ron podcast. How's everybody doing this week, this first full week? Yo! Hold on. Is that who I think it is out there? Yeah, Brother Man, is that you out there again, man? What's up?
Yo, I know you hear me.
Man, you always interrupted my show. Go, come on in, sit down, be quiet. Sit in the corner and be quiet, all right, Brother Man? Thank you. All right. Oh, that Brother Man. Well, he does help me out here from time to time on the show, folks. So, you know, I gotta tolerate him. But anyway, hope you had a blessed start off to your new year, 2024. I know I have. I know God has great things in store for us this year. Today's show, I want to pick off where we left off on last week's show. And last week's show, we talked about what God had placed on my heart as the theme for 2024. And that was GRACE, right? We remember the, Brother Man, you remember the acronym we used for GRACE? GRACE, brother. How do you spell that? GRACE. GRACE. Now, you remember the acronym? You don't know what an acronym is. All right. That's okay, Brother Man. We'll help you out. But remember, we said GRACE and we had the acronym was God's riches. Brother Man got me all messed up, y'all. God's riches at Christ's expense. GRACE, GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense. So we're going to pick up on that, GRACE, and how that word is similar, but not exactly the same meaning as the word favor. That's right, y'all. I'm going to get into God's favor, one of my favorite topics, subjects. So let's get off into a little bit of prayer, and then we'll get into the word and break it on down. Heavenly Father, open our hearts. Make us attentive to your word today. To not just hear it and gain knowledge from it, but actually apply it to our everyday lives so it'll make a difference in our lives and those around us. We thank you for it, Father, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I'm going to get into grace. So, let's turn over to our last verse here, or the verse we left off, our key verse. That's in the book of Revelations, last book of the Bible. And the last chapter in that last book, chapter 22, and we're going to be reading from the last verse of the last chapter of the last book, verse 21. So, Revelations 22 and 21. And get your Bibles out, blow the dust off, get the grease off your fingers, whatever. You know, get your Bible turning fingers out, the Bible page turning fingers out and ready to go. All right, Revelations 22, 21, and it reads, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." That's the final words of the Bible, right? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all and amen. So I want to get into this a little bit and show you how grace relates to favor. I'm going to tie that in together here. So in Ephesians chapter... Well, let me back up again. I want to get to that. So if we look throughout the Bible, we see that grace is a constant theme from the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament, and finally culminates with the coming of Jesus Christ. You can read that in John, I believe it's John 1:17. It says, "For the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Right? So the word grace, what's the meaning? Well, translated in the New Testament, we get the word, I hope I pronounce this correct, charis, C-H-R-I-S, charis or charis, which means favor. There it is, favor, blessing, or kindness. That's what the word grace means. Favor, blessing, and kindness. I got a definition here. Oh, wow. Yeah, favor, blessing, and kindness. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors. He's long been with the Lord, long left this earth. But I have a lot of his books. I love his reading. I'm trying to read every book he's got out there, if I don't have it already. But one of my favorite Christian, I don't think he was a theologian, but he was a man of God, a pastor of a church up there in Canada, I think was the last church. But anyway, check him out. Google him if you don't know who he is. A, capital A, period, W, period, Tozer, T-O-Z-E-R. But anyway, he has a quote from one of his books for a definition of grace. And it says, he says, grace is the good pleasure of God that inclines him to bestow benefits upon the deserving. Its use to us sinful men is to save us and make us sit together in heavenly places to demonstrate to the ages the exceeding riches of God's kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Okay, that was a quote from A.W. Tozer. Again, grace is the good pleasure of God that inclines him to bestow benefits upon the undeserving. That would be us and sinners too. Well, we could talk about that if I remember it. God bestows grace on sinners. Not the same kind of grace we get. Let me tackle that why here so you don't get any misconceptions. So the sinner, God provides and says in the Bible, he gives rain both to the saved and the unsaved, right? We both breathe the same air. The sun shines on us both. And God can take the breath out of either one of us, right? Each heartbeat is a gift from God. So that's when I say that even the sinners have grace, it's by the goodness of God's unmerited favor, his grace, that he blesses the people in this world, the lost as well as the saved, with his goodness. For the lost, he uses his goodness to bring him to him, to entice him to come toward him, to goad them toward him. And for the saved, we were once lost. We've answered that call from God through his grace, his goodness. And now we rejoice on the other side of it, basking in his blessings. Okay, so I hope that clears that up. I don't want any misunderstanding on that part. But anyway, back to grace. Again, it's a constant theme throughout the Bible. The word Greek word charis for grace means favor, blessing, and kindness. And when we use the word grace in connection with God, it has a very powerful meaning. Okay, we could show grace to others, human grace, right? Forgiveness, kindness to others. We're not talking about that great. We're talking about grace in connection with God. And grace is God choosing to bless us rather than curse us as our sin deserves. His benevolence to the undeserving. I just touched on that with the unbelievers, right? The undeserving. And as you know, let's turn over there while I'm thinking about it. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. You there yet? You there, brother man? You don't know where Ephesians is. You need help. We'll help you after the show. All right, Ephesians 2 and 8. Everyone but brother man. Listen up, brother man. Stop fumbling through your pages and listen. All right. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Okay, one more time. That's Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of ourselves. That's a gift of God, right? That's the last part. So God gifted us grace. We said last show, grace, another definition for grace is God's unmerited favor. We can't do anything to earn God's grace. Oh, at the beginning, we couldn't. While we were saved, we didn't. Well, let me say, you can't do anything to earn God's grace. It's freely given because God wants to give it. Let's leave it at that. I don't want to get off into the theological weeds here, but it's a gift of God. And again, our theme for this year is grace, and it's a gift from God. He's given it to us. A lot of Christians, believers, they misunderstand that word. Okay, again, we know that we're saved by grace through Ephesians 2 and 8. We just saw that. But few of us really internalize the truth of that word, truth of grace, as it's translated in the Bible. Again, it actually means favor or favor is approval, support, and preference or belief. Again, grace is something quite difficult to fully comprehend and to give a perfect definition to because God is so infinitely loving and wise, we can't fully know him this side of heaven, this side of the cross. So that's why it's kind of I get as far as the Spirit can get me through it and leave the rest of the Holy Spirit to help you understand that. So what do I want to do now? Let's go over to... Well, let me go back. Let me finish this off. The only way any of us can enter into a relationship with God is because of his grace toward us. And I'm reading something here. I got some notes. Grace began in the Garden of Eden when God killed an animal to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. That's in Genesis 3:21, I believe. And he could have killed the first humans right off the bat, right? For the disobedience. But rather than destroy them, he made a way for them to be right with him. And that pattern continued throughout the Old Testament when God, if you recall, instituted the blood sacrifices as a means to atone for man's sinfulness. It was not the physical blood, though, of those sacrifices, per se, that cleansed us sinners, or the sinners back in the Old Testament. But it was the grace of God that forgave those who trusted in him. Look in Hebrews 10 and 4, says, For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And if you go to Genesis 15 and 6, says another verse, he said, and he believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So sinful men showed their faith back in the Old Testament days by offering sacrifices to God. And again, we all know, my Bible scholars out there know, that the blood sacrifices and the animal sacrifices depicted in the Old Testament point to the coming of who? That's right, Jesus Christ. They all pointed to him. So God is the instigator of grace, and it's from him that all grace flows. And then God shows both mercy and grace, but they're not the same thing. Mercy withholds the punishment we deserve, right? Mercy withholds sinners. We're all sinners, right? And mercy withholds that punishment that we deserve as sinners. But grace gives us a blessing we don't deserve. Okay, it makes sense? Mercy withholds God's punishment against us, but grace gives us a blessing we don't deserve because we're sinners. In mercy, God chose to cancel our sin debt by sacrificing his perfect son, Jesus Christ, in our place. And you can read some verses to that in Titus 3 and 5 and 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. I'll read 2 Corinthians 5, 21 for you. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So there it is. But God goes over to further than mercy and extends grace to his enemies. I talked about that, right? The unsaved, the unbelievers. In fact, we were all sinners. I mean, we were all sinners at one time, but we were all enemies of God at one time before we became saved. Romans 5 and 10 says, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go. Romans 5 and 10 says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And that was Romans 5 and 10. So God chose to cancel our sin debts through the death of his son, Jesus Christ, his perfect son, took his place, place on the cross there. What else do I want to go to? God offers us forgiveness, right? Hebrews 8 and 12 says, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. And he also says, I believe it's in Ephesians 1 and 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. We have reconciliation through the blood of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, for in him, and we've done this on previous shows, so you can go back, previous podcasts, we use this verse a lot. But Colossians 1, 19 and 20 says, for in him all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by blood, the blood of his cross. He also gives us abundance of life. One of my favorite verses, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came, that's Jesus. Jesus came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He came to give us, his grace gives us eternal treasures. Luke 12:33 says, sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. And by the way, I'm reading out of the ESV, English Standard Version Bible. I thought I'd switch it up this show. Normally, I'm a New King James, First James Version person. That's my go-to favorite translation of the Bible. But and then the ESV lately, trying it out. So let me know if you like it or not, if you're a fan of the ESV or not. Okay, where did I leave off? Oh, eternal treasure. And then he gives us his Holy Spirit and a place in heaven with him someday. John 3:16 and 18 says, "For God so loved the world," right? That's the popular verse everybody seems to know. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." So grace is God giving the greatest treasure to the least deserving. That greatest treasure being who? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. To the least deserving, that's us, mankind, which is every one of us, right? So that wraps it up for grace. I think we did a great job in breaking that one down. So I said early at the beginning how grace is related to favor, that grace is God's unmerited favor. We said it's favor, blessing, right? How they relate. Same word, same Greek word for faith. I'm sorry, same Greek word is used for grace and favor in the New Testament, and that is charis. I've talked about that. So listen, what is God's favor? What does it mean? Well, we're going to try to break that down for you. I'm going to try to break it down for you. God's favor is God having his affection upon you. His affection. The fact that he can't keep his eyes off you. God's favor is to have God's affection upon ourselves. God demonstrated delight. The fact he can't keep the eyes off of us. You know, favor is like grace, but there's a difference, and we're going to get to that in a second. But let's turn over to the book of Psalms 84:11. Psalm 84:11, and in the New International Version, NIV, it says, "For the Lord our God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk is blameless." So favor is like grace. The best way I can explain the difference is to recognize that we said as the beginning, grace is always free. It's unmerited favor. It's an undeserved gift that God gave to us sinners, us sin-bound, doomed human beings. And on the other hand, favor can be deserved or gained. Okay, one is free, undeserved, and the other can be gained or deserved. Bible teaches us that God's anger only lasts a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Let's turn over to Psalm, the 30th Psalm. Psalm 30, 30th Psalm. And we're going to be reading Psalm 5, verse 5, Psalm 30 and 5. "For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." You see that word again back there again? His favor is for life. Finding favor means gaining approval, acceptance, God's acceptance, or special benefits, or blessings. There's a close association among favor and grace and mercy. We saw in Psalm 84:11 said about that. I read it one more time. "For the Lord is our sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk, whose walk is blameless." So now, don't let God's favor mislead you, though. It doesn't always look like you think it looks. A lot of people ask for favor with God and then turn around expecting favors from God. And there's a big difference between the two. Favor is a guarantee of God's presence and the provision of God's power to accomplish a special purpose in and through our lives. So in other words, it's not intended for our convenience, but for God's purpose, for God's convenience. That's why favor is so significant. We think of it in human terms as if we ask somebody to do us a favor. "Hey, bro, can you do me a solid?" Right? You ask somebody to do a favor. That's not how God sees it. God's purpose for his favor is to fulfill his purpose. So it doesn't matter whether if you're a business person, you're a pastor, a parent, a grandparent, husband, wife, what have you. Everyone needs God's favor. And God's special divine favor causes us to rise and to thrive. So make no mistake about it. People of every walk of life needs God's favor. I need God's favor. You need God's favor. Just think about how many people we've wronged in our lives. Think about how many times we've done something that hurt another person. We all have sinned and fall short of God's favor. So the Bible says, so seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and he will give us favor. Let's take a look. I'm going to wrap this up again short. One good example is Noah. Look what happened to Noah. He found favor. God found favor in Noah and chose him to create a new world, right? The world had become sinful and wicked. God says he regretted even making man or humans, but Noah was a righteous man, blameless, and had a relationship with God. Look at those keywords. He was a righteous man, he was blameless, and had a relationship with God. Noah walked in God's favor. To walk in God's favor is to trust God. Let's turn over to Isaiah 66:2, and I'm going to be reading again from the NIV. Isaiah 66, verse 2 says, these are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in heart, and who tremble at my word. My hands made both heaven and earth. Okay, there it is. Those the people that God looks on with favor, those who are humble and contrite spirit, like Noah, for instance. God showed grace to Noah. That was transformative, not only saving him and his family from impending flood, right, but also signaling a new covenant between God and man. So to have a season of favor, of sudden miracles, unusual, uncommon, unexpected, and unpredictable things happening to us in our lives, his grace has to be upon us. And again, this is a season of his blessings on us. This year, 2024, is a season of grace, of reaping our inheritance and our harvest. It's complete, and it's completely conditional, again, upon us doing what God has told us to do. So, in 2024, if you want to gain favor, first, you got to keep God as a priority in your life. You got to be obedient to him. You must be humble. You must honor him. So favor of God is, again, a divine, it gives us divine access to places, people, and things, and there's nothing we can do without it. This is a season for divine favor, but will your favor grow or stay the same in 2024? So I'm going to stop right there. I'll pick it up on the next episode. I want to give some more examples from the Bible of people who walked, who experienced God's favor, like Enoch, Abraham, Moses, David, Mary, the Virgin Mary, right? Even Jesus himself. So I want to go through a whole bunch of scriptures. I'm going to bust out my Thompson Chain Reference Bible. We're going to hit a bunch of scriptures. And I'm going to go over some things, more things in depth of how we can, what we can do to gain God's favor. Again, remember, favor basically differs from grace, and that grace is undeserved. It's given to us freely by God. We can't do anything to earn it. Whereas favor, on the hand, is deserved and can be gained by God. And I want to talk about that. There's some good stuff, y'all. So please, please, please come back next week. Listen in. I will give some good examples. And I will even give some of my own testimonies of God's favor operating in my life. So I know you got that. Hold on. What's that, brother man? You want to give a testimony? I'll think about that. I'll get back at you, brother man. All right. But anyway, come back next week and I'm going to get some examples, some personal testimony as we explore God's favor here on Breaking It Down with me, Brother Ron. Y'all, that music tells us it's time to wrap up another episode of Breaking It Down here with Brother Ron. And before I go, I always want to ask you, my listening family out there, that you share this show. Please, 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 please share the show. That's the best thing you can do for me, is to share this podcast. It bumps up our numbers, up in the algorithms used for platforms out there like Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and all the others. And it works. Just give me a thumbs up or leave me a 5-star review, and that'll help me out and give me all the help I needed and help promote the show so others can get in on the good word of God. So again, come back next week as we continue and pick up on the theme of grace and favor. I promise to give some examples from the Bible of people experiencing God's favor. So please come back and listen in. And also, yeah, share the show. I said share, but yeah, tell others about the show out there. You know, send them a link, let them listen on your device, whatever. Tell them, hey, Brother Ron is out there and he's breaking down the word of God, making it simple to understand and easy to apply to our lives. And just spread the word. Spread the word. And as most importantly, keep me up, lifted up in your prayers. Keep the show lifted up in prayers, and that God will continue to use me to preach and teach and proclaim his word. All right, y'all. I'm out of here. We'll see you next week. Peace.